Hey, Claire.
Hello, Ted.
Hey, you guys.
You are here.
This is fun. This is exciting. This is the Not a Thing podcast, episode 103A, because it's A for Alan. Brendan is not where I am, and this is not our normal not where I am. Normally, I'm recording from San Jose, and he's recording from his wine country bunker in Sebastopol, but today I'm actually traveling, so I'm in picturesque Parker.
Indeed, the gorgeous, the colorful Colorado Parker. Not to be confused with any Parker that you may know other than the one in
Is
Colorado.
there another Parker?
I would imagine somewhere in the country there's another Parker.
Okay.
It's worth Googling.
Does Parker have like a slogan or a motto or something like Redwood City, client best by government test or something like
As
that?
long as we've lived here, they've just been advertising that they're going to have the Solheim Cup in 20.
13.
Yes.
It was last year. Parker is home of the Solheim Cup
Oh.
2013.
Is that a. Apparently, it's a big deal. What?
It's the women's equivalent of the Ryder Cup for
Oh,
golf, for
okay.
what I understand. So it was a kind of big deal to get it. It was held at the Colorado Country Club, right?
I have no idea. I
Yeah,
mean,
Colorado Country Club, which is here in Parker. It's a golf course.
sure.
So you're taking a very marginal section of interest and putting that as your city slogan. I don't know if I would necessarily endorse that for, national distribution of interest in Parker, but it was the decision that the city council made. So forever, we will be known as the hosts of the 2013 Solheim Cup.
It's true.
Yeah, like San Jose's capital of Silicon Valley.
What
Daily
were they be
City.
in like the 80s?
Oh, it was the Valley of the Heart's Delight.
Why would you change from that?
Right?
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I saw that. There is sort of not a campaign, but I've definitely seen that on like shirts or carved into wood, usually at very hipstery kind of bars. But yes,
That does not totally surprise me.
Valley of the Heart's Delight.
That's fantastic.
It does sound pretty cool.
It is.
Well, and everyone knows it's happening in
Yeah.
Soledad.
Daly Cities is the gateway to the peninsula.
No, Daly Cities it's just fog.
It's like you're leaving San Francisco to go to the peninsula. You gotta come through us.
That's right.
Home of Carl the
Yes.
Fog. Proud home.
Yeah. Keen, but Denver, you've been in Colorado for how long now?
3.5 years.
Exactly. Just
Yeah.
about, yeah.
Came out in the teeth of a gale in the tail hours of 2011.
No, 2010. We arrived December 31st, 2010.
That's right.
Yeah.
We made it out just in the wire.
It was minus 14 degrees. We were not positive on the recent decisions we had made at
No,
that
so I'd only been to Colorado twice before, both times to interview for jobs. So it was like in and out in a day. And
Oh, so
came
you'd
out.
never stayed overnight?
No. Oh, right. So that's not true. I'd been out for, we came to Thanksgiving one time, but it
Lies!
was a better story. My wife was not going to let me tell it. Fine. So I'd been to Colorado. I knew totally what I was getting into, but I still felt like I came out and everything was dead and it was below zero and the truck broke as soon as we got into Colorado and I was really questioning my decision.
Well, and truth be told, Ted had only been to Colorado in the spring. Previous to that, we had only come out for spring breaks. And if you're coming to Colorado, and please do, it's a really lovely
It
state,
is.
do not come in the spring. The
No.
spring is the worst season in
It
Colorado.
is brown and dead and
Yes,
muddy.
because the snow has melted and the greenery has not arrived,
Yeah.
and it is miserable. And the weather is really unpredictable. Like, we had snow on Mother's Day this year.
Indeed.
And not just any snow, like a dusting, like a good 6 to 10 inches on like May 12th.
So that was our pitch for Colorado. It's a wonderful state for 9 months of the year. Just don't come in the spring.
Come in the winter. You go skiing. The fall colors are beautiful. The summer is lovely. Stay away.
There's no reason to come in the spring.
What other Colorado pro tips do you have?
So one of the things that everyone knows about Colorado, well, not everyone knows, everyone in Colorado knows about Colorado, is the Rocky Mountain National Park is a thing. It's not quite as dramatic as Yosemite, but it's very cool. Actually, really what makes it is within the park boundaries is the Never Summer Mountains,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is the best name. Apart from maybe San Jose's old slogan for something ever, I think it is whimsical and sounds like it is out of a fairy tale,
right?
Or a
Tolkien kind of thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're gonna go up there and like forge some steel, and,
yeah,
and
hang out with some dwarfs, and, yeah.
That actually kind of fits in with another thing that Colorado is well known for. Smoking the long weed,
yeah, oh,
from the Shire.
Oh yes. Oh, what a long bottom leaf.
Long bottom leaf. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we had a fun conversation yesterday. At least it was hushed tones until you reminded me it didn't need to be in hushed tones.
It's true. It's legal in Colorado. Just be over 21.
Proud home of the legal Rocky Mountain High.
Indeed. It almost like Colorado had to be the first one to really implement, because, I mean, it was already there. The Rocky Mountain High was there. It would have just been like a shame if it was, I mean, I know Washington, you know, whatever. They just got their act together recently.
But yes, yes.
Colorado, we did this proper. First of the year.
Right, I think it was really funny because I'm one of the reasons I'm here, not just to podcast in your beautiful home.
What?
But I was here for work. It was a work trip, and so I was also in Seattle for work. So I was in Washington for work. So the trip goes through two states with legal marijuana.
They should have just served it on the plane.
I think there probably are restrictions for how that works.
That's
on
garbage
an airplane.
If there is. No. You took off in old state that it's legal. You're landing in a state that is legal. I think they should have just passed out joints, like the beverage cart. Like just gone down the aisle. Here's your weed.
That whole interstate commerce thing isn't regulated by the feds.
No,
who
no.
Who don't recognize our legal ways.
Who also sort of quietly just turn a blind eye to the whole like enforcement of marijuana as a Schedule C.
A.
Well, I don't know how these things work.
Which is a higher classification than cocaine, if I remember correctly.
You bet.
So cocaine is less bad than marijuana.
Oh.
So remember that, kids.
Yeah.
Schedule A drugs, the definition of have no medical use. So heroin and marijuana get lumped in that category. Okay. Cocaine has recognized medical uses, so it gets to be Schedule B.
Oh, because like Novocaine,
sure.
It's similar, derived roughly from the similar.
Yeah, I use it for random things.
You're just getting that from the cane on the end, aren't you?
I took Latin, and so every little like word connection I can make is the only thing I can do, because Latin is really not useful in any other context.
No, it's very rare to go to, you know, for instance, a falafel bar and order in Latin. Not one time have I gone up and the person started speaking to me in Latin.
Yeah. I think the closest thing it's almost useful for is I can like half tell what the magic words in the Harry Potter things are.
Ooh.
But only like half. Some of them are
can
not.
Can you like half tell me what one of them was? Because I have no idea. I thought you just made it up. Like,
well,
Hermione, for instance. Can you explain that?
Her name? No. That's a whole other thing.
Hermione?
No. Well, like Patronus, right?
Okay.
Your patron, your guardian, things like that.
Their truth serum is very, which
what,
is
what is I don't
it's like Veritimus or something.
Yeah, Veritas. Right?
Veritas is truth.
Well, I'm glad both of you took Latin,
or we were raised roughly Catholic.
yeah. So I thought I had an in with the Catholic thing. Let me tell you, no. The answer is no. Do not. There's your life pro tip. Do not use the Catholic experience as your in to learning Latin. Actually, really, just don't learn Latin. It's not. I mean, there was some useful stuff. I think the more useful thing that I got from it was that it's a very strict language, and so there's in like for verbs in almost every other language, there's some kind of conjugation where it's like. He runs, she runs. Well, that's a bad one because it's all runs. But like, you know, there's ran or run, you know, so there's it's a different verb for whoever's doing it. In Latin, you have the same thing, but it's for the nouns too. So in a noun, it has a different form if it's the subject or an object, or if it's the indirect object and I'm giving it to you, it has a different word. Or if I'm taking it from you, that's a different word.
Wow.
And so there's what you learn very quickly is what part of speech that is, or what how to diagram that sentence very quickly, which means in English, then you say whom all the time correctly. So yeah, so I inadvertently became a grammar Nazi by taking Latin. So that's a thing.
Got it, because the only time I ever use whom is to it concerning.
It may concern.
Whom it may concern.
Although yes. It reminds me, have you heard of, have you seen Kelsey Grammer's latest thing?
No.
So he has a Twitter account, which I want to say, and I have to look it up. I think it's Kelsey Grammer Grammar.
Oh,
and
funny.
All he does is correct people's grammar on Twitter.
That's awesome.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Kelsey Grammer, if you're listening.
Big fan of the podcast.
I'm sure he is. Who is not? I mean, honestly. I love you. You have some hilarious things. You're a little bit nuts. Be careful there.
Well, on the grammar thing, was he a big fan of Weird Al's word crimes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that that go around for sure. So what is your guys... Here's a random thing. What is your guys' take on the Oxford comma? Because that was in word crimes, too. Apparently, Weird Al is... anti-Oxford comma.
Mm.
So this...
So for those who might not be up on Oxford comma...
Yeah, this,
maybe
that,
just
the,
a real quick sure. Definition.
So when you say like a list of things, this, that, and the other thing...
Okay.
You normally put commas between them.
So of course.
This comma, that comma, and the other thing. So and the other thing, do you put a second comma? Do you put a comma before that and the last set?
Definitely.
I do. So that is the Oxford comma.
Yes.
So I over comma everything. Okay. I'm all about the appositives. Like, I'll do a positive within an appositive. So, yes, the more commas in a sentence, the better. I'm Garrison Keillor in that way.
Oh, and welcome to the Not a Things podcast grammar hour.
I can't wait to see what Brendan's side of this podcast is. It's going to be great. If you, Brendan, if you're listening, you have to top grammar hour. That's all I know.
Good luck. Not gonna happen.
So I would say another Colorado pro tip has to be you have to acclimate to the altitude.
You know, we are fairly high up, so we're Denver's at 5,280 feet.
Literally the mile high.
Mm-hmm. Yes, literally the mile high. I forgot what alliteration Parker was, but peaceful, pleasant Parker.
Yeah.
Okay. Is right around 6,000 feet.
Picturesque.
Oh, wow. Can I forget? It's my own town.
Awesome view of Pike's Peak from Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Which is 4,000, like, 85 feet. 14,085.
Oh, yeah, there's a number in there. Yeah,
there was a one. You know. Rounding error.
says the accountant.
It's a material. So, yeah, acclimating is definitely something that I think it takes 3 days, really, to before you...
Well, I got a day. I got to hurry up.
Yeah.
No. Well, flying out tomorrow.
So I say, I don't know. Everyone's different, and it depends where you're coming from. Sea level, I think. If you're coming from sea level to Denver, and then you want to climb mountains, I'd give yourself at least a night, if not two, in Denver. It's a physiological thing. Don't feel like you're a wuss, because you can't breathe. Because no one can.
That's actually, I don't understand how there can be so much wind, but so little air. So, I mean, it's true here in Parker, you know, when you just fly in, you can feel it walking around. Like, definitely it's a little bit more difficult than it normally would. Mm-hmm. But then when you get up above 13,000 feet, it's always windy. And there's no air at all.
Which, another Colorado pro tip, you can get above 13,000 feet by car two different ways. You can go to the top of Pikes Peak, which is very expensive, and they charge $12 per person. Or you can go to Mount Evans, which we think is a lot cooler, which is only $10 per car.
Although at the top of Mount Evans, they don't have 2 Mile High donuts.
No, you can get donuts at the top of Pikes Peak.
It's a recipe that you can only buy at Pikes Peak because it will only work at that altitude.
Interesting.
Yeah, totally worth the trip, everybody.
Well, and Pikes Peak has the whole name clout thing going on for it.
Well, yeah, and when you get to the top, you kind of have to sing America the Beautiful. For those who don't know, the lady who wrote that, which we don't know who it is either. she wrote the words to America the Beautiful in poem form atop Pikes Peak. So if you really want to be cool like Claire and I, when you drive past or go to the top of Pikes Peak, you can go ahead and sing America the Beautiful in honor of the lady who wrote those words.
Especially if you have younger people in the car who will horrifyingly embarrass.
Totally
makes
worth it
extra better.
Totally worth it.
Awesome. That's good.
No, definitely a thing in Colorado that you do is spend a lot of time in the car. Alan and Julie actually came out for 3 days. Really 2 days. And we put them in the car for 10 hours to go to a mountain town. Be so prepared for that. It's pretty drives, but a lot of driving.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
It's beautiful.
So we went to Crested Butte, which is, I think, the coolest mountain town that I've been to in the state. One of the things that you can do there is downhill mountain biking. Supposedly the birthplace of mountain biking.
I'm sure everyone has some claim to the birthplace of mountain biking.
Right. No one ever thought to take a bike off-road. That happened at one time. Yeah. Somebody thought of it.
But we'll go with Crested Butte. Sure. Let's do that.
But yeah, so downhill mountain biking, ton of fun. Claire's recently gotten into it.
Downhill mountain biking is definitely a thing.
Most people, I think, when they think of mountain biking, they think of like biking on a paved trail in the mountains.
No.
I found this from experience. When I take people mountain biking, they're like, "This sucks. This is hard. There's all these rocks and stuff." I'm like, "Yeah, it's why you're on a $2,000 bike with 8 inches of travel."
Yeah, right. Yeah, the suspension is because the rocks.
But so, yeah, when you're downhilling, you just take the chairlift up to the top, so you don't have to pedal.
That's a lot easier, I think.
Oh, it's so the way to go. Oh, man. If you have the means, I highly recommend it. And then you just ride down the mountain, and then when you get to the bottom, you're surprisingly exhausted, and then you get back on the chairlift.
It's true. Even though you're not going uphill, downhill mountain biking does use muscles that you didn't know existed. And surprisingly, it's an upper body workout because of all of that holding the bike steady thing.
And the braking.
Very strong fingers.
No, but I've done mountain biking a couple of years in a row now at Crested Butte. And I love it. It's so much fun. But for the ladies out there, because I have run into a lot of women who say they are mountain bikers, and then you take them on a trail and they're like, ah, and you're like, oh yes, the paved trail in the mountains thing is more what you were envisioning. I didn't really like mountain biking either until I took a lesson, and mm-hmm. I trusted my bike. And those two things are really, really important. And I think that if you have any inclination to do it at all, but you're on the timid side, which I am for the most part.
Well, death is
I'm a cautious. Yeah. I'm a cautious person. A lesson's totally worth it. But you have to be willing to go a little fast. You have to have a little bit of guts in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it actually is a lot easier with speed.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you're fighting the mountain the whole time and you're miserable. And every lesson I have taken, I've always ended up as like the lone last stander. Because
everyone else wants to ride on a paved trail.
Yeah. Yeah.
I almost feel like that's true in biking in general, is like a little bit more speed than you might necessarily be comfortable with just starting out probably would actually help you.
Yes, incredibly. And that's, I mean, I tell every woman who says they're interested in mountain biking and then they sort of freak out about it, is that speed is your friend and trust your steed. I mean, mountain bikes are incredibly engineered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people who are into mountain biking are really into mountain biking, and they're smart, and they're scientists, and they're engineers, and they think every centimeter of that bike over to work so that you have a great time and it's safe.
Keep the rubber side down.
Yeah, keep the rubber side down.
It's really, there's one rule. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
And jump off your bike if it gets hairy.
It's also true. Run away!
That should be... I think that's really good. I've been doing a lot of, not mountain biking, but road biking recently. And we had stopped and done the, we did a beer stop like you do for road biking. And we were talking about, different kinds of biking and mountain biking. And one of my friends who has done like some, but I wouldn't say a lot, was his big thing was don't break so much. Don't like the mountain will stop being a mountain. Like if the trail is woven correctly and people like survive on it, you will eventually get to a part where you can slow down and figure it out. But it's like you're like trying to stop while you're doing that is going to be dangerous for you.
Yeah. No, trying to stop is
my mountain bike instructor, the two things he yells at me for all the time is off the brakes and pedals level.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think when you're learning cycling, biking in general, a little bit more speed really helps. And then a higher cadence of pedaling than you're comfortable with too is also helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're really grinding over that big gear, if there's any kind of an uphill,
yeah,
you're really screwed.
It's too late.
Yeah,
it's very much too late. Right,
you get the
yeah. Yeah, I have on my road bike. I have this is the first time I've had a road bike with a compact crank, and I never use that climbing gear.
Oh, really?
So I just pick all like the lazy trails, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's because going uphill sucks. That's pretty much.
It's true. It's true. There is one good hill near me where I do. I do tap it.
Oh.
But yeah, hill repeats.
Yeah. Oh, so you don't do hill repeats.
What are hill
repeats? I thought maybe you had gone full roadie on me.
No,
what are hill repeats is where you go find a hill.
Yeah.
And not just like a little hill, but like a decent hill.
Yeah.
And you ride up to the top.
Yeah.
And then you ride down.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you get to the bottom where you should be able to go really fast and keep going, you stop and you turn around and you ride up to the top and you go back down and you do that repeatedly.
Because
it's a conditioning thing.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
because it sucks.
Oh, I'm like, wait, that sounds not, that's like not doing the fun part.
Right.
Which we were just like discussing the opposite of
that. It's why I was concerned that you'd gone full roadie.
No. I actually am probably not very well conditioned at all. I'm pretty good. I mean, I can certainly ride, like, what was the, I did just kind of a 30 mile like randomly, and it's
totally
still fine. Yeah. But I think that's more like, is your saddle correctly adjusted? Is your bike correctly adjusted? Is actually more important than how hard you're breathing, I think.
Yeah, you know, I don't usually go super into the red in my vitals road riding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until some douchebag passes you on the trail and you're like, uh-uh. Uh-uh, no you didn't. And then you go try to chase them down and it turns out they're like semi-pro and you just feel really bad because you're dying and they're just like talking to you.
Yeah, right. That's the worst part. When someone is trying to talk to you and you're like...
You're like,
I'm not just...
Actually, it's not the semi-pro guy that really makes me feel bad. It's when it's the old dude. It'll be a guy who's like in his 70s. And like when he goes by, I'm like, oh, look at that guy. I'm going to get on his tail and go catch up with him. And then you, like, he'll check to see who's behind him. And you're like, oh my God, you're so old. And you're dropping me. That's really demoralizing. I think it's because they have more money to spend on their bikes. Couldn't be that they're in better condition.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they must have like the DI2 shifter and...
I mean, motors.
Of course.
Of course. They're cheating, of course. But Claire just did a 30-mile mountain or road ride. 35.
Yeah?
Was horrible.
Oh, no.
I have very bad feelings about biking. My bike, mostly, in general. I realize a couple of things in retrospect. I have been biking, you know, infrequently this summer, but more than I have in my life on my probably 1980 steel frame 10-speed World Sport.
Schwinn, right?
I think it is a Schwinn. Yeah. However, it was made a long time ago.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, when it steel was made of steel.
Yes, indeed. They're thinking about mining it to make the next aircraft carrier.
Anyways, it is a road bike, but it's a really old, really heavy road bike. And not that that's an excuse, because I've been riding it all summer, and I enjoy road biking as a means to get where I've been riding to the light rail, and I even did a fairly ambitious road race at the beginning of this year, or ride, I guess it wasn't a race, the Elephant Rock, which is the big bicycling event that kicks off Colorado cycling season,
mm-hmm.
And I did that 32 miles with another gal. And we took it very leisurely and did a lot of stopping. However, this weekend, I climbed on my 1980 steel frame World Sport with four other people who ride all the time. In fact, the other girl in the group does half Ironmans, and everybody is very, very comfortable on the bike. And I should have turned around at the halfway point when my loving husband told me to. But I was feeling pretty good at that point because it was about what I'd been riding all summer, as it turns out, about 15 miles, is what I've been riding all summer.
Yeah.
And so I was feeling all right at that point, a little tired, but I figured I could do the second half of the race, no problem. About a mile after that, I was done. D-U-N, done.
So, top tip for the men out there who are trying to get their significant other into riding. There's nothing you can do. There are no words that you can say.
No.
There's no amount of breaking the wind for your wife. There's nothing that you can do.
Oh, my God.
No, so I limped generously that second half. And there was a huge downhill section. I was so miserable. I could not even enjoy it.
Oh. Yeah, it was like 10 miles of downhill.
Oh.
It was so I think really kind of what broke Claire was the fact that the first 15 miles of the ride is climbing. Not climbing, but a false flat.
Yeah.
With a climb at the end. And then kind of some rollers in the middle. And then downhill on the way back. But I think it was that... going 15 miles, thinking I've gone 15 miles, but using like 25 miles worth of energy
because
mm-hmm. Of the uphill.
Yeah.
But yeah, so men.
My legs were so tired at the end of it, I did not feel confident enough to take a shower, so I took a bath. That's how that went down.
I have nothing.
All right. Any other...
Road biking is really fun. No, so when you ride, do you feel like you get into a zen, or are you always riding with people? Like, because
no, I guess, no, I do both. So when I'm riding with people, it's pretty good. What was really fun this last time was that I bought a Bluetooth speaker. So Outdoor Research, or I think is the name of the company, it makes a Bluetooth speaker that like straps to the handlebars, and I flick out my phone, I pick the songs, and then I hop on the bike, and we did that, and it was really, really fun. I would say Daft Punk.
I was just going to say Tron Legacy sound.
Yes, yeah. In fact, the exact thing was a great. It worked great. It was like a 9-ish 10 mile ride, and that it goes like nothing else with that. Just like this constant boom, boom, boom.
Oh yeah, boom. It's so good. The worst is when you're like in that mood and you're like pumped up, and then you get to a hill and you're like, oh fuck my life.
I can't. But I can't not.
Yeah. The music is like doom, 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 and your pedal is
Yeah. But the I did 20 miles there and then hung out for a little bit, then 20 miles, ended up doing 20 miles back. But that one I did, and it was just me, and that was a little, like, there were moments when it was like, I'm bored.
But by moments you mean like 45 like, minutes at a time.
Like 20 minutes, yeah, yeah. So that's kind of rough. It's only rough because... on that trail, this is Guadalupe River Trail, there are two points where it dumps you onto the city streets. And I am okay on city streets, but I get really paranoid when there are other cars. And especially because it was literally the first time I had ridden that route. So I'm like, where's the trail hookup?
Like, that's every... the best. The first time you do a ride, you're like, I don't know where
I'm going. I think it's this way. Don't. Go into the homeless encampment. Okay, I'm going to ride up this way again. Okay, yeah.
Yes, well, I understand your fear of cars because, as I said earlier, death is an option.
Oh. Oh, hey.
Potato, our cat, is joining us for a cameo appearance. Hello, Potato.
Excellent.
No, so when I ride by myself, I'll get into kind of a zen thing.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And I think part of it is just the pain. Tater agrees.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with the pain part of it, but no, there are stretches of the ride where I'm like, I don't have to shift, and it's a very clear, like, you know, set of the road, or I remember that bit of the road, and it's just like... this constant thing. And actually, that happened a lot when I would ride to Mountain View on the Bay Trail when it's like all gravel. And that was really odd because it's like, it's not constant. You're kind of shaking around more than anything else. But I think that it's like white noise for your body is really what it comes down to.
Well, I don't know if that means anything or if we have to,
yeah, we may have to like have a conversation with Potato.
With the cat.
Yeah.
All right, Tater, come here.
But
come here, Tater.
What other are there any other Colorado pro tips that we want to diffuse? I think this has become the Colorado pro tip episode of the Not a Thing podcast, which is a thing. You should have more visitors. Is really what it comes down to.
Well, we couldn't go Colorado pro tips without mentioning the really booming, really amazing craft beer scene here.
Yeah.
And there are thousands of breweries, some which have made national fame. You all know New Belgium, Fat Tires, and Dale's Pale Ale, and some of those other... what, Coors? How could we forget Coors?
Which is craft.
Not craft, but it is a Colorado beer. Although Coors makes Blue Moon, which considers itself craft.
Yes, and
crafty.
I believe every Coors beer that you'll have in the country is brewed in Golden, Colorado.
Yeah. And you can see them all being brewed at once on that tour. It's that is an epic tour, only because as someone that has brewed beer before... and has some memory of what the process is and the parts, it's hilarious how Coors is doing the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just scaled up to like some ungodly number.
Way bigger pots.
Yeah.
Totally agree. is ridiculous. And they're like, this is the, and they explain it like it's really complicated.
Yeah.
And if you ever homebrewed, you know it's make tea and then let it spoil. Like, they can just do it really consistently.
But yeah, so craft beer, I can't even begin to say how many independent nano breweries there are in the state opening all the time. Apparently hasn't hit saturation yet.
Yeah.
And so it's worth it. We make really, really good beer
here.
Yeah,
that's good beer. So what's your favorite beer recently? Let's do that. And I think that would be a nice kind of thing for the show.
Yeah. I'll let you go first.
Let's see. Well, my favorite beer of the summer, actually, and to go to one of the larger breweries in the state, is New Belgium Snapshot.
Yeah.
Which is...
We get that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's distributed nationally. Yeah. It's much better on draft than it is on the can, in the can. But it's still... It was my summer beer this year. It was my go-to for the summer.
Yeah, that is a fantastic one. Mine would actually not be a beer. Something else that's popping up around here is cider houses. And there's one called Stem. They do a brew, I think you could call it, because they dry hop. They're called Remedy. That is, I think, fantastic. So it gets a little bit of the hoppiness, or the floral from the hops, but the dryness from the cider. That's my beverage of choice for the summer.
I've yet to pick a beverage of choice. I think it might be time to like have one or two or five or something like that.
The night is young.
Yeah, right on. Well, Ted and Claire, thank you for being on the show. It's great to record from your wonderful house and picturesque Parker again. It's great. I will, I guess... I don't know, be recording normally with Brendan next week, so we'll figure it out. So Brendan, when you hear this, hopefully you'll have your episode up too. We'll figure it out and talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
Or right now. Actually, yay, after I turn the mics off so we can like eat and drink and stuff.
I'll turn off my radio voice now.
Right on. Okay, thanks guys.